Excellent job as always. Thank you, choir. Miss Jean, Miss Alicia, Brother John. Appreciate all of you being here today. If you will, let's stand in honor of God's word. We are in Mark chapter 7. And this morning, let's go from verse 24 to verse 37. Last week, Jesus told the Pharisees, he lambasted the Pharisees. He said, it's not what you eat that defiles you. And he purified all foods. He said, it's what comes out of your heart that makes you a sinner. And he gave a list like no other. And if you're not convicted by that list, I really don't know what to tell you. So now, what does he do? He goes to the unclean. Don't you love Jesus' method of operation? From there he arose and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." She answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. And then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and he spat. And he touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed. And he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Lord, praise you this morning. Your miracles are mighty. And Lord, all of us in here today can attest to personal miracles you've done in our life. Lord, let us not forget how good you are. Lord, that when we've been sick, you made us well. Lord, that when we've gone through the ringer of life, you've planted us on solid ground. Lord, for us that are sin sick, you cleanse us with your precious blood to make us white as snow. Lord, I pray today for our congregation. Lord, I pray for the ones out there that are far away, that do not know you. Lord, today I pray today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for us as believers. Lord, we forget. Lord, we don't praise you enough. Lord, we go through ritualistic motion. Lord, I pray that you get us out of the rut. And Lord, set us ablaze for your glory and honor. Lord, today we thank you for your word, that we see the miracles of your healing. And Lord, I pray today as we reflect, we see the miracles that you've performed in our own lives. And we praise you for it. Because Lord, you're honorable. You're worthy of all praise. And Lord, we give this to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love this and the fact that we get to a point where the Pharisees are talking about washing hands and eating food. And Jesus says, it's not the food you eat that defiles you. He says it's a sin in your heart. And every one of us in here this morning got a problem. We've got a sin problem. And the only cure for the sin problem that you and I have is a relationship with Christ Jesus. And so, as we look at this today, he goes to a region that's unclean. He goes to a region of the Gentiles. Wait a minute, Michael. John 4:22 says salvation is for the Jews. If you go back and you read in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 42:1, behold, my servant whom I have uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. This is God talking about his son Jesus. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Justice to the Gentiles. It seems like, being a Gentile, that there's no hope. But praise God, aren't you thankful for the rest of the story? In 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for our sin only, but for the sins of the world. John 10:16, I have other sheep not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be what? One flock and one shepherd. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Thank God he says this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We are a Baptist Missionary Association church. We support missionaries all around the world because we believe that the gospel is for every creature. Revelation 5:9, they sing a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were given, and by your blood you have ransomed for God your people from every tribe, every language, and people of all nations. Acts 10, Cornelius. Aren't you thankful that the Lord gave Peter the summons to go to the Gentiles? In Acts chapter 11, he says that God granted repentance to the Gentiles. You and I here today, I don't think we have any Jewish people. You and I here today are Gentiles. And I'm thankful that we have a Savior that came for you and me. And so as we look at this today, we see that he goes to a part of the world. The only time that he leaves Palestine, the only time that he leaves Israel, the only time that he goes on this missionary journey to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were Gentile cities, Gentile villages. This is where Jezebel came from. High in paganism. Tyre and Sidon. Tyre was the ancient Phoenicia. Phoenicia, when you study world history tells us that the Phoenicians were the greatest shipbuilders, that they were the greatest sea traders. And for the most part, they had a pretty good relationship with the Jews, except during famine. And in famine, the Phoenicians would go and raid the storehouses of the Jews and take their wheat grain to make their own bread. And it's going to relate when we get to the story here in just a minute. Josephus said this about the Phoenicians and about the Jews. Josephus said they were the bitterest of enemies. The bitterest of enemies. And this is where Jesus goes. He goes there to Tyre and Sidon. Sidon is nowadays modern-day Lebanon. And he enters a house and wanted no one to know it. He went there just to get some privacy. The Pharisees are breathing down his neck. The crowd's breathing down his neck. He just wants some privacy. He just wants to be left alone. And he goes there, and what does the Scripture tell us? There in verse 24, it says he could not be hidden. He was so well known that even in areas outside of Galilee, Capernaum, even outside of these Jewish regions, he was known among the Gentiles. And so what happened? Look there in verse 25. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. I think this is so important. This lady is a Gentile. This lady does not have Jewish lineage. But she heard about him and she came to Jesus and she fell prostrate at his feet. She worshipped him. She worshipped him. Matthew's gospel account of this story tells us this, that she called him the Son of David. She recognized that he is who he says that he is. Now we get to the portion of this story of this lady has a daughter, a young daughter, the Bible tells us, 12 years or younger, that has an unclean spirit. I don't know this, but I think that she had this demon for a pretty good while. Any of you in here that your kids have been sick, what do you pray? Pray over your kids. Lord, take that sickness from them and put it on me. I prayed that so many times, I don't know how many times I've prayed that, but I've prayed that so many times over my kids. You do too as a loving parent. This mother wanted to see her daughter healed. And she knew the only person that could heal her daughter was Jesus Christ. She calls him the Son of David. She recognizes that he is the Lord of Israel. She falls at his feet to pay homage, to please him in worship. And in Matthew it tells us that Jesus did not answer back. It tells us in Matthew that the disciples were trying to push the woman away, trying to get her away. I appreciate Wednesday night and Brother Schaefer's Bible study on the Gospel of John. Brother Rodney Christian said, it's amazing to me how many liberal scholars try to rip apart the Gospel of John. Well, many liberal commentators have taken this passage of Scripture and tried to rip it apart, saying that Jesus was insensitive to this woman, and this is where Jesus sinned. And I'm here to tell you in this pulpit today, hogwash, Jesus never sinned. He didn't respond to her. He didn't listen to her. The disciples tried to push her away. But look here in verse 25. This woman, who was a Greek, who was a Canaanite, according to Matthew, who was a Gentile, who was a Syrophoenician by birth. Syrophoenician by birth. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. This Greek language tells us that she was persistent. She kept following, she kept asking, and she kept following, and she kept asking. And then finally, Jesus turns around. And Mark tells us in verse 27, he says, let the children be filled first. Matthew tells us that he said, I've come to seek and to save the lost sheep of Israel. He says, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And so people that are of liberal thinking, of liberal theology, read that and say, oh, look how insensitive, look how angry, look how mean Jesus was towards this Greek, Syrophoenician, Canaanite woman. But oh, aren't you thankful for the beautiful language of Jesus? Let the children be filled first. She was pretty profound in her theology. Number one, she called him the Son of David. Who do you say Jesus is this morning? Number two, she fell at his feet. She worshipped him. And when he said, let the children be filled first, he was talking about the house of Israel. Let the children be filled first. I have come to save the lost sheep of Israel. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, any of you in here who have studied the Bible for any amount of time know that in the Bible, dogs are looked down upon in a very negative connotation. As a matter of fact, dogs are considered to be scavengers. Dogs are considered to be wild. They're considered to be ravenous. Jewish people hated these type of dogs. But Jesus in the Greek says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little puppies. The little dogs. The little lap dogs. The little dogs that even the Jewish people would let come in their house. And as they reclined at the table and ate the bread, the crumbs fell off the bread and fell on the floor. Some of you that have dogs know what I'm talking about.
And they fall on the floor, and what do those dogs do? They eat the crumbs. They eat the crumbs.
Jesus said it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He did not demean her in any way. Not in any way. Look at her wit as she comes back in verse 28. I'm sure Jesus had to smile at this. I would have liked to have been there in that conversation to see exactly what happened. In verse 28, she answered and said to him, and I love this, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." I think those two words are incredible. Number one, she agreed. She agreed exactly with who Jesus says that He is. She agrees that He's the Son of David. She's fallen at His feet. She says, "Yes, Lord." She has succumbed to Him as master of her life. I think there's so many people today that are so misguided by their salvation in Christ. They think that they did it. You did not do nothing. Praise God, He did it for us. There are so many of us in here today that are so misguided by so many different things when it comes to the Lord. And the Lord is our master. And when the Lord is your master, He will ordain your steps, not you. This lady knew that. Her steps were ordained by the Lord. And as they were ordained by the Lord, they walked her straight to Jesus. Walked her straight to Jesus. She says, "Yes, Lord." She humbled herself. She believed. And praise God, Jesus met her needs. "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs, yet even us Gentiles, under the table, eat from the children's crumbs." What a humble attitude from this Greek Syrophoenician woman. You and I need to have the humble attitude to come before our Lord and Savior. Some of us come in so pious. Some of us come in so self-inflated. Some of us come in, as we heard last night, thinking that we're better than sliced bread, and you're nothing but the heel of the loaf. That's what many of us, we think about ourselves. And we think that we're all this and we're all that, and we're not. This woman understood. She bowed before Jesus. She said, "Yes, Lord, I understand that You're the Savior to Israel, but I also understand that You're my Savior. And I understand that at the table, the children get to eat the bread, but I'm so thankful that even a little puppy like me gets the crumbs." Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Aren't you thankful that the Lord came to you and me? Aren't you thankful that you've been saved by His amazing grace? This is just inspiring to me. Look at what Jesus said after she said this. He said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." Praise God today. The demon has gone out of your daughter. This proves that Jesus is the Son of God. That the daughter was at their house, and Jesus and the woman were having a conversation elsewhere. He's omnipresent. He's here with us this morning. That Jesus is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Aren't you thankful for the all powerful hand of Jesus Christ this morning? There's many of you that have been on a sick bed. There's many of you that have been on life support. There's many of you that have hit rock bottom in life, but He has pulled you up out of the quicksand of death, and He has planted you on solid ground. Praise His name this morning. How much more we forget about how good our Savior is. He told her. He said, "The demon's gone out of your daughter." He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what you're thinking today. "I'm ready to go watch some football." "Well, I'm sorry, but your Dallas Cowboys play Thursday night." He knows what you're thinking. "I'm ready to go get my table at Jalapeno Tree or Peralta's or wherever before lunch." But it's not about our bellies, he said back last Sunday's scripture. It's about our heart. God knows everything you're thinking this morning. Everything. He's omniscient. And he told this lady, he said, go your own way. The demon's gone out of your daughter, verse 30. When she'd come to her house, what a praise. She found the demon gone out. Hallelujah today. She found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. On the bed. We know that demonic possession takes a strain on the physical body. We know that demonic possession causes people to convulse. We know that it causes people to vomit. We know that it causes people to have very strange reactions physically. And she had seen this in her little girl over and over and over again. And she goes home, and there's her daughter, not convulsing, not hurting. The demon's gone, and she's sitting there lying on the bed. Don't you know she just praised Jesus that day? Don't you know she just praised Jesus that day? When our little Brooke was born, she would get excited when Dora the Explorer would come on. And she'd flap her little arms like a bird. And our doctor said, well, I'm worried about those tendencies because she might be on the spectrum. Well, you'd like to explain this to us, Doc. Well, I'm really worried about it because she's showing some traits to Rett syndrome. Jacqueline and I had no idea what Rett syndrome was. We looked it up and we started crying. I'll never forget driving in my pickup truck. I was working at Mineola ISD at the time, and I just cried and cried and cried and prayed and prayed and prayed, Lord, this can't be. This can't be. So we had an appointment with a neurologist, and we went with little Brooke, and the neurologist observed and said, I don't think this is what it says it is. Let's fast forward to September 12th, 2021, and we've got a beautiful, fixing to be 12-year-old daughter who's on the all-A honor roll. And it's only because of the grace of God that's been shown upon her life. You need to look back. And you need to think about how good God has been to you. And when you think about how good God has been to you, all you can do is do what this lady did. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now we get to another miracle. A miracle that's just as outstanding as this demon coming out of this little girl. Again, the scripture tells us in verse 31 that he departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Remember, we've been to Decapolis before. It's the 10 cities, the 10 Greek cities, the 10 Roman cities, these cities that represented these 10 cities of paganism, if you will. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. Now, I want to stop right here for a second. Jesus goes back into a Gentile-populated area with Gentile-populated people, and they bring this man that can't hear, and he's got a speech impediment. We'll talk about that in just a second. And they bring this man to Jesus, and I want to stop right there for a second. Many of you remember our revival a couple of years ago when Dr. David Dykes from Green Acres came and preached, and he preached about the friends that lowered the paralytic down from the roof down into the floor so that he could meet Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, these friends that loved this deaf man, that loved this man with his speech impediment, they knew that the only cure that there was not through their friendship. They knew the only cure there was to bring him to Jesus. Can I tell you a story real quick? I'm going to anyways. Juan and Anna gifted us with some tickets last night to go hear Mark Meadows
President Trump's chief of staff speak in Tyler. We were incredibly blessed by this. And in this banquet, we got to hear from some very interesting people that were receiving some very prestigious awards. And one person that caught my interest very quickly was a gentleman, and let me just say this, they did videos of them before they gave them their awards, and these videos, when he started to talk, I had my back to Jacqueline, and I was afraid to turn around and look at her because we would have both started laughing. He had a very effeminate voice, and I thought that he was probably the other side. And as he began to speak, I am getting text from Randy bragging about how his Arkansas Razorbacks are whooping my Texas Longhorns. And so I'm looking at this, and then this gentleman begins to talk. And he said, "I was confused as a kid. And I was told by everybody that I must be gay. And so therefore, if I'm gay, I'm going to be transgender and I'm going to be a drag queen and I'm going to work in Dallas." And as a matter of fact, being a transgender drag queen, he got some type of award to get promoted to this TV show. And this is what caught my ear. Then he said, "I had a friend invite me to church. I had a friend invite me to church." We need to be friends to sinners. He came to church, and under the saving power of Jesus Christ, he changed his life forever. And that young man who was a transgender drag queen now says that he's just an oversensitive male. And he says, "God made male and God made female." And he said, "It is my mission to go out there and to tell kids that it's all right if you're a little feminine. If God made you a guy, he made you a guy. If he made you a girl, he made you a girl." His name is Kevin Witt, and he got the Brave Culture Warrior Award and the Witness of God's Amazing Grace. God can change your heart, and he can cleanse your soul. And this transgender drag queen had a friend and said, "Let me bring you to church." Thank you guys for bringing your friends to church. These guys brought their deaf friend, their guy with a speech impediment, to Jesus. And as they brought him to Jesus, it says here, they brought to him, in verse 32, one who was deaf and had an impediment in speech, and he took him aside from the multitude. Took him aside from the crowd. My mother used to carry my brother and I to see my great-grandmother, Opal Pomeroy, in the nursing home up here on Highway 80, where Jimmy's at. And we'd go up there and we'd go to church with her, and we'd go visit her, and we'd go talk to her, and visit her at her supper and things like that. Well, Opal loved to go to church. She loved the Lord. But there was a man in there, and he was in a wheelchair, and he barked like a dog. We were scared to death of him. I was in high school, and I still hid behind my mother when this guy would roll up in his wheelchair. But as I got to watching this man over months and months and months, he would bark just loud. I mean, scary, scary. I mean, you would just be scared to death. But then he would go into the church service. And I think he'd be barking, and Mima was like, "No, listen to what he's saying." And he'd tell the pastor, who was also leading the music, he'd say, "Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye." He loved that hymn in the sweet bye-bye. And then as we continued to come to the nursing home, he rolled up on you, and I mean he would get right up on you with his wheelchair. And man, I was in fear. And he bowed his head and he put his hand out to shake your hand. And through that time, you could see the love that he had for people and you could see the love that he had for the Lord. And he was challenged physically. But praise God, when Jesus touches us, He makes us whole.
This guy right here, it says in verse 33 that Jesus took him aside from the multitude. He put his fingers in his ears. And then it says that he spat and he touched his tongue. Jesus spit on three different miracles. You say, what in the world is going on here? In the Greek language there, spat and touched his tongue, meaning that he spat on his hand, rubbed it together, and put it on his tongue. Listen, there is medical proof from the Jews, from the Romans, that there is healing in saliva. You that have played any kind of sports, I remember I had a kid that played defensive line for me come over to the sideline and his wrist was hanging like this. I said, go spit on it. Right? We tell people that. They get a little cut, they get a little bruise, go spit on it. When my little girls get cut up or whatever, they come running with blood pouring down their leg and I don't have a Band-Aid available, the first thing I do is lick my finger and I know this is sick, but I just put it on there. You've done that before too. And you say, no, you sicko, I haven't. Jesus spit and he rubbed it in his hand and what did he do? He touched that man's tongue. He touched that man's tongue. Look at what happened. As he touched his tongue in verse 34, he looked up to heaven and he sighed a compassionate prayer, a compassionate groan for this man that had these problems. Let me tell you something about our Savior. He cares for you. He sighed. And as he sighed, he said in Aramaic, and I'll mess it up, Ephphatha, that is, be open, be released. This man could not hear that, but praise God, Jesus is Heavenly Father. Our God hears that. And as he hears that, what happened? This be open, be released. In verse 35, immediately his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loosed. And praise God, he spoke plainly. He spoke plainly. Spoke plainly. Wow. Remarkable. His ears were open, he could hear again, his tongue was loosed, he could speak plainly. And then in verse 36, he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. They must have been great Baptists. You'll get that about lunchtime. Verse 37 says, they were astonished beyond measure.
I'm still astonished about how good God is. Man, I look back on my life, some of the things that He's brought me through, and all I can say is praise the Lord.
They were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. Dr. Pentecost said this is a reference to Genesis 1:31, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Creator, that He has all sovereignty over the creation. And we need to recognize His sovereignty this morning. That He has done all things well. You here this morning are no mistake. Don't ever look in the mirror and say, I'm a mistake. No, you were created by Almighty God. He makes no mistakes. He's done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. He fulfilled a prophecy from Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. Matthew tells us through the same narrative in Matthew 15, 31, that all the people that were there, they all glorified the God of Israel. That's important because you got a Gentile, pagan group of people saying that you are the God of gods, that you are the King of kings, that you are the Lord of lords. Who do you say Jesus is this morning? Friends, life's tough. But you know what? It's going to get better. And the only way it gets better is with a relationship in Jesus Christ. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And Isaiah tells us that the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness. And Isaiah says this, "And oh, how I long for this day. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Praise the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for how good You are to us. Lord, I pray our people reflect back today in times of sickness, in times of divorce, in times of struggle with addiction, in times of sin that they thought that there was no way out. But Lord, You took us out of the quicksand and You placed us on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We praise You today for that. We thank You for this example of the Gentile woman. We thank You for Your grace through faith for salvation. Lord, we thank You for the example that You showed the deaf man with the impediment of speech, that You healed him physically, but not only that, You restored him spiritually. Lord, I pray that we understand that by Your stripes we are healed. And it's not a physical healing that we're looking for, praise God. It is a day that is coming soon. A day that when You bring Your church to You, and Lord, we'll be there with You for eternity. And all we can do is praise the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Encourage our hearts. Encourage our souls. And Lord, let us always be reflectful to give You the praise and honor and glory that You deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning you talk about encouragement. You talk about your hearts being stirred. I would like to introduce this time Brother R.L. and Nervy Lewis. Would y'all come forward, please? I am so proud of these two. And I know that there is a daddy smiling in heaven today. And Brother R.L. approached me about it being time to join New Hope Baptist Church. Brother R.L. comes on statement today of believing the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and being baptized. Nervy comes today professing Jesus Christ as personal Savior and wants to be scripturally baptized. And so today, yeah. Today, and we can praise the Lord again through clapping, I want to welcome to New Hope Baptist Church Brother R.L. and Miss Nervy Lewis. I love these guys. I had the opportunity to minister to them in their wedding and now to minister to them as pastor. And I tell you what, the Lord's good. Amen. Amen. Today, before you leave, come hug R.L. and Nervy's neck. Let them know you're glad that they're with us here at New Hope Baptist Church. There may be some of you that the Lord's calling you. Come on. Come on. Do not quench the Spirit, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, and I think sometimes we quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. If He's calling you to salvation, call upon the name of the Lord today. If He's calling you, you know that you're His child, you know that you're His chosen, that you've never been scripturally baptized and you want to come follow Him in a local New Testament church, come on. We're ready to get the waters rolling here. Praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His kindness upon us. Let's stand. Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Alicia, will y'all come lead us in a hymn of praise as we leave?